good.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 5:27. Ephesians 5:27. Thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, it comes forth unhindered from any outside force. We thank you for blessing the word in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about being prepared for the days ahead. Being prepared for the days ahead. Are you there yet? Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Everybody say glorious church. Glorious. Having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be only holy and without blemish. Now, when you go in here and you read the context of Ephesians 5, everybody here knows this. We're all scriptorians around here. I would say that you know that Apostle Paul's talking about husbands and wives. And you should read it. It's wonderful. But for time's sake, I just want to use the scripture to focus on one thing here. Paul is comparing the king and his bride to husbands and wives and how things should flow. Okay? So I want you to just pick this up, that Jesus is interested in a glorious church. Okay? It said that he would present her to himself. So the church is not having to earn being presented. The church is not having to work to be presented. Jesus will do that. He will complete a good work in us. So she, just as the wife, can submit and honor her king / husband, and he will bring her into glory. Amen? So I believe that we are on a wave of something big right now. Yes. I really believe that. I want to ask you a question. What is this? What is this? What is it? It's the Bible. What else is it? This is God's word. This is the plan. This is the plan, okay? We want to follow the plan. God has a plan for people. In fact, in this book, God has a plan for three peoples. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:32, it says there are three groups of people, the Jews, the church, and the nations. And so this book is going to always be talking about our two, the Jews, the church, and the nations. It's so important to know who the writer, the Holy Spirit, is talking to, because you'll see some differences. People say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It doesn't. You got to know who the Bible is talking to. Those letters are for us. Amen. Okay. Now, so we won't go deep into that, but God does have a plan, and he has a plan for each one of us. You are, of course, in the group called the church. He has a plan, he has a path for you individually, and he also has a plan for you in the body of Christ and in this corporate unit that you're in here tonight. We are to be the glorious church. The Bible is the story of the glory. We are to be glorious. So I believe that we are seeing this fulfillment in this season. And so look at Ephesians 2:19. Go there. You should be really close. Say glory when you get there. You can have what you say. Glory. Amen. Glory. All right. So now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You are the dwelling place of God. Corporately, we are the dwelling place of God, built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are, we could say it like this, we're full of God. Amen. Now, Ephesians 3:14 there, just look at verse 1 there for just a second. Turn, flip over there to Ephesians, you see 3, see verse 1, see the words for this cause? Drop down to verse 14. See the words "for this cause"? Okay. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause." Now, the Apostle Paul is going to pray. What's he praying for? A cause. He's praying for this cause. He just ended chapter 2, and he's talking about being God's dwelling place. You'll be God's dwelling place for this cause, for the cause of being God's dwelling place. You with me? Okay. He starts the chapter like that. He's praying for certain things here that will help you fulfill the cause. The cause being the dwelling place of God. Okay. So what I want to do tonight is point out three things that's going to help you prepare for the days ahead. Because in the days ahead, the Church of the Living God is going to experience much glory. Glory is the heavy, weighty presence of God, a realm of God, manifesting in the natural realm. It's a realm that we come up into. It's a realm that comes up through us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's in us, but he can come upon us. Now, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. But I believe over in Joel where it says the latter rains, there'll be latter rains and there'll be latter rains that come together, the former and the latter rains. What I think that means is that the Old Testament Holy Ghost and the New Testament Holy Ghost are going to come together, meaning that he's going to come up on us, but also heavenly manifestations are just going to happen. And so that realm is going to be something that we'll be working in all the time. So the first thing I want to point out to you in preparing for the glory is to be rooted and grounded in love. Be rooted and grounded in love. And Paul makes this prayer for us right there in 3:14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Listen, do you hear what he's praying? You see that? "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Now, to have revelation of his love toward you would be one of the ways to be rooted and grounded. You need to have a revelation of God loving you. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Does it? Okay, we need to translate and meditate that. He is love. He doesn't just have love. He just doesn't love toward you. He is love. And so we need to have an understanding of the love of God. And the second thing would be to walk in love toward others. And I know you all know 1 Corinthians 13, and it uses the word charity. Charity is kind. Da, 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 da. Y'all know the scripture. Everybody in here knows 1 Corinthians 13. Now, so that word charity, for once, I think King James did a good job, because it's the desire to give. It's the desire to give. The other things are good too. I shouldn't have said that. But it's that strong desire to give. God has a strong desire to give to you. And by the nature of God in you, you have a strong desire to give or forgive or be kind or be patient. There's a desire in there because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by who? The Holy Spirit. And so the third thing would be get an understanding that there is no fear in love. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. It's over in John there too. 1 John 4 talks about perfect love casting out fear. It's not talking about your perfect love, that if you get perfect, you won't have any fear. It's talking about this perfect love that God, Father God, Abba Daddy has toward you. And when you realize how much love he has toward you, fear goes away. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so you get a revelation of that. This gets you rooted and grounded in love. We don't need to have fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And we're to walk in this world by faith. And so we need to understand that fear will be removed when you get hurt. So if you have some fear going on, start thinking about how much God loves you. Look at the scriptures about how much God loves you. I mean, for God so loved the world. God so loved me that he did this for me. God, I mean, you can, there's all sorts of love, love, love scriptures. Amen. The next thing is get an understanding that faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. Strong knowledge of God loving you and a strong love walk. And I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's love to you more and more. And all of this combined, and understanding that faith works by love, it's not, once again, it's not faith works by love that if I just love people, my faith will work. That's not what this is telling you. This is telling you that as you're sitting in love, that you're living in love himself, that you're understanding this love himself, you have the basis or the foundation for your faith to just go out and get what it needs to get. It's a firm foundation. Amen. The more you know God loves you, the more faith has a trusting place. And the more you know that God loves you, the easier it is to love other people. That's true, isn't it? So we're getting rooted and grounded in love. And this is why we recently spent time studying Hesed. It's God's obligatory love toward you. He loves you. You're not earning. He already loves you. You do what you do because you love him back. And you're so grateful for what he's done. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second step in preparing for the glory is worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in John 4:24 that very thing. It says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, sometimes saints try to dump one of these out on you. Well, we don't want the Holy Ghost stuff because then we could get some wildfire. Or here's the other side of that. We don't need preaching the word. Let's just worship. Well, you know, my Bible tells me to preach the word in and out of season. That's right. Something's not going to stop. It didn't say preach the word until the revival comes. It said preach the word. It didn't say preach the word until prophecy comes. It said preach the word. Yeah. Word and spirit work together. Yes. Okay, well, let's prove it. How can we prove that word and spirit work together? Genesis 1. It says the spirit hovered. Hebrew word rakaf, hovered over the water, and God spoke. Word and spirit came together, and there was movement. That's how it works. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for the word. The Bible says in John 1:1, it says what? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Everything that was made by that word. Verse 14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then what happened to the word in Acts 10:38? In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed the word, or anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So the word himself and the Holy Spirit got together and began to remove oppression from the people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's word and spirit. Thank you for it, Lord. Spirit and truth. And so, you know, the Bible also says in 1 Timothy 1:18-19, it says that we should take the prophecies that we receive and war a good warfare with them. Is that right? So we understand that prophecies are important. Holding faith in a good conscience. Well, but where does faith come from? By hearing and hearing. Amen. And so there's the word again. And also when it comes to prophecy, 2 Peter 1:19 says, you have a more sure word. So you don't have to live by the words of the prophet. You have them right there in that book. Now, I love prophecy, obviously. But the truth is that that's not your main course. The word of God is your main course. Yeah. The word of God is your anchor. Yeah. It's so interesting that word and spirit should go together, because word can get really dry without spirit. Mm-hmm. Spirit can get really wild, cuckoo, and out there without word. But they're anchored together, and they work so perfectly together. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. So we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we worship him flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. When we're having worship, we're not singing songs. We're not trying to become rock stars. We're worshiping Almighty God freely and lifting him up and praising him with the right heart. Yeah, we should do it well, but I'm telling you, I'd rather hear someone sing out a tune anointed than I would someone be perfect who was dry nothing. So thank God for anointed praise and worship. I'm telling you, that's how God wants it. And I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit should be flowing in the church, but I'm telling you, the word should be preached. Amen. This is what we do, word and truth. Number three, the third step for preparing for the glory is we must get rid of parasite drag. Do you know what it is? Its primary objective is to go unnoticed. It plants itself and then it sucks life. And it slows you down. On a plane, parasite drag is on the outside of the plane and it slows down the plane. It catches wind. So you're always wanting to get rid of parasite drag. So let's get rid of your parasite drag right now. Let's get rid of mine. Let's talk about your past right now. Oh, it's gone. Your past is over. It's time for you to forget it. You are a new creation. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you at all. You can be healed of all the past, abuse from others, or self-inflicted. You can be healed from all those things. Whatever you're feeling pain about right now. And a lot of it's real because things happen in this world. Things go on. But you can walk in a comfort level in the Holy Spirit. You can walk in the peace of the Holy Spirit. And you can walk healed. God has promised us this. Let's talk about your relationships. The company you keep. Are you living in the chicken yard or the eagle's nest? You know, Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, get out of there. Get out of there because I'm not blessing in there. I'm blessing over here. He said, you're going to have to leave your kin folks. And you're going to have to. Now, he actually didn't obey. And they had to take a side trip. And then they had, because Terah had to go and die over here. And then what happened with Lot? And then y'all know about Salty. She turned and looked. And so, but we don't have to. He just said, get out of there. Get out of there because the blessing. Did you know that you have a wealthy place? You are called to a wealthy place. And if I told you what your two most important relationships were, I don't know if you'd even believe me. The two places you should not get offended. Number one is with God. Do not get offended at God. It's not going to do any good. Your success is on the other side of that. Amen. And the second place you shouldn't get offended, are you ready for this drum roll? Your pastor. You thought I was going to say your husband or your wife. No. We're talking about a spiritual ranking here. Not that I'm more important than your wife. I'm not saying that. What I'm talking about is how things are set up to play out because this is your wealthy place. This is absolutely your way. Wherever you go to church, wherever your local church is, those of you who are listening online, that's your wealthy place. I'm not talking just finances. I'm talking about your whole wealth. Who are you hanging around with? How deep is your love? That's a song. And come on. Walk, worshiping in truth here, in word and truth, and then getting rid of parasite drag. Right? Okay? And so if you'll look at that, if you can see why I said that. Now some people are going to have to think about that. God and the pastor, those are the two. Come on, get a little deeper and you'll figure that out. Okay. Now, so Abraham, get out of there. I want you over here. So sometimes you have to get out of something to go where God wants you to be. I'm not asking you to quit the church, but sometimes people do move churches because they need to be where they need to be. Amen. But I'm telling you that you got to be where God calls you to be. It could just be location. It could be any of that. Now, most important. Here's the most important thing. Well, no, let me ask you one more time. Let's talk about one more thing, and then we'll talk about the most important. Let's talk about your ministry. Now you say, well, I'm not a minister. Well, your job is your ministry. Yeah. Your assignment. It shouldn't just be a job to earn money. You should be at an assignment. And if you're not at an assignment yet, pray that God will get you to an assignment in life. Yeah. Amen. Then that would be your ministry. So, you know, let's say you have a nice little thing going, but God may have something better for you. You may need to go beyond what you're surrounded by. Amen. Find out what really, really, really is important to God. God might be trying to move you into something new. He knows what you need in your own personal ministry, in your own personal assignment. Amen. And then the one other thing that we have to look at here, and it is the most important when it comes to parasite drag, is we are all called to renew our minds. We're called to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to this world. Okay? What would that include? They're like, well, I guess that means can't go to the honky tonk and I better not be, you know, getting drunk and all that kind of. No. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But we're talking about getting out of religion too. We're talking about that you not being conformed out from the outside, all the don'ts. We're talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the nature of God comes through you, and now you have the horse and the cart in the right place, and you're able to function in the nature of your Father and do what He calls you to do. And you're going to have to work what Corinthians says. You're going to have to cast down imaginations that they're exalting themselves above the knowledge of God. Well, what do you know about God? What's the devil fighting you about? That'll tell you right there. You know that God loves you. You know that you're supposed to prosper. You know that Jesus is the healer. You know that the Holy Spirit will guide you into everything and tell you of things to come. That you know that you're safe. You know that you're healed. You know that you have a Psalm 91 vaccination. You know that you have a protection when you're in your car. You know all these things. That's what the devil's going to fight you on. He's going to fight you on your self-image. He's going to fight you on how you look to people. He's going to fight you about the they. He's going to fight you and want you to be offended. He's going to want you to say, he's going to want you to hear something that poisons you about other people. But you have to cast down those imaginations, which would include fears. Amen. Maybe you focus on the facts too much instead of the truths. That's something you have to look at. Maybe everything's wrong all the time. Everything just seems wrong all the time. Time to come up out of that. And you do that by putting word in you and believing the word and opening your mouth. Gosh, has this been on everything I've preached lately? You're going to have to open your mouth because words fight thoughts. Thoughts will not fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Whew, I'm preaching myself happy right there. Whatever's dragging you down, there's an anointing to remove it. Amen. An anointing to destroy it. An anointing is in us tonight and on us tonight. Well, we had a prayer meeting in here last night. My, we were moving and flowing. God moved through us. And don't anybody say, well, why didn't you renew me? Well, if, you know, you'll just have to find out and follow and ask us how we're doing that. Amen. Don't all of a sudden think that we left you out. It was, called the thermostats in to pray, and the ones who heard it came. Some people were busy, but there were about, 20 of us? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not always going to make personal calls to people. You just have to hear what's going on. Okay. Now, don't be offended at that. All right? Deb won't be. Anybody else? Okay, good. So, Colossians 1:27 says what? Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope and glory. The anointed one in you, the earnest expectation of God's manifest presence is in you. The earnest expectation of God's manifest presence in you right now. We have a hope. That's earnest expectation. Christ in us, what? The hope of glory. So, this is in us, church. We were prepared at being born again. And now we've had to build capacity. What I'm telling you is, we were rescued from Egypt. You were rescued from Egypt the day you were born again. You were rescued from the reproach of Egypt. Now you have to get Egypt out of you. And that's what we do here. That's this work, is to get Egypt out of us so we can believe God and soar as far as we can and have heaven colliding with earth and changing this atmosphere and the natural realm and people getting blessed in Jesus' name. You receive that? Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Spring up a well on the inside of us. We thank you that we're becoming more and more glorious every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we, by faith, we're prepared. And we just to say that we take care of the parasite drag. We're gonna meditate on how much you love us. We're going to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We're gonna do these things. We're preparing ourselves for you, walking in love in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. We bless you and we praise you and we give you glory. And everybody said, amen. We're going to receive our offering tonight. If you'd like to give online, we're going to click. You can give via text message to text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. You can click the link and complete your gift and you will see exactly how you can give. And we bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray over every tither and giver. We thank you, Lord, that wealth and riches are in their house, that blessing is in their house. We thank you, Lord, for hundredfold returns for the giving. And we thank you, Lord, for the tither who's so faithful to give into their church, into their wealthy place, into the place where they are planted. And Lord, I thank you that we are planted in good ground, and that good ground will cause us to grow, and it will cause our finances to grow, and it will cause our ministries and our jobs and our assignments to grow, and we will be promoted, and we will receive good measure in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. Come on, brothers. We really appreciate those of you who've been watching online. Hey, Stacy, I was going to give a shout out to you. That's my niece. Bless your heart. We love you so much, and we're glad you're always listening. Donna, we love you. Papa Dan, Sherry, we love you. Sherry, we love you. Oh, gosh, there's a lot of people we could talk about, but we love you guys. We're so grateful. Dinah, we love you. There's a lot of people out there. Sometimes, Casey, I see you on there. We love you. Praise God. Glory to God. What a good day it is. I'm telling you, life is good. Amen. God.